For the last 3 weeks, I've been sharing with you what I've been learning through my doctoral studies on the problem of gossip. The first week, we learned a definition of sinful gossip. Sinful gossip, now not necessarily what others might define as gossip, but what God is concerned about. Sinful gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. Bearing bad news, both speaking and listening to stories about others that are bad. Bad in the sense of false, bad in the sense of shameful, bad in the sense of evil that is going to happen to someone. Behind someone's back, the person you're talking about is not there, out of a bad heart. Now the second week we were talking more about the heart, remember? The Lord Jesus said that out of the overflow of the heart, our mouths speak. It's because of what's inside of here that we engage in sinful gossip. We learned 2 weeks ago about a gallery of gossips and the kind of hearts that we have. The spy, the grumbler, the backstabber, the chameleon, the busybody. And then last week, the judge. Gossip starts in the heart, almost always with a sinful judgment of someone else, and then trips off the lips. Today we're going to turn the corner and start getting really practical. Each week we've gotten a little bit of hope about resisting gossip. That it's possible. That we don't have to give in to the temptation to gossip. God always provides a way out. We've learned that God has provided everything we need for life and godliness through our relationship with Christ and His great and precious gospel promises. We've learned that if we humble ourselves, He will lift us up. Today, we're going to go beyond that and learn a little bit about what we should and can do instead of gossip. Instead of gossip. And I figured out late this week that I have too much to share to get it all out in one message. So this one's going to have two parts. This week we'll talk about speaking instead of gossip, speaking. And next time we gather to talk about resisting gossip, we'll talk about listening. Because as we've seen, resisting gossip is both of those. Resisting speaking gossip and resisting receiving it. Both are very important. We'll start today with speaking. What we should say instead of sinful gossip. And that instead of is very important for at least two reasons. Number one, because we feel it. I don't know how many people have said to me over the last year or so, well, if we didn't gossip, what? We wouldn't have anything to talk about, right? If we didn't talk about people at school or at work or with friends, then we wouldn't have anything to talk about. And of course, that's not true. Might feel like it sometimes, but it's not true. So we feel that question. What do we do instead? And God has an answer. Anybody have their windows rolled down? In fact, God tells us. God cares about this. His word is all about instead of. God doesn't just want us to stop our sinful behavior. He wants us to live righteously. That's the point of Ephesians chapter 4. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians and the fourth chapter? You can find that, if you don't have your own Bible, on Pew Bible page 1158. The black Pew Bible's in front of you. Everybody should be reaching for a Bible right now. Black Bible or your Bible, page Pew Bible 1158, and find Ephesians chapter 4. Our key verse for today is actually on page 1159, the very next page. It's verse 29 of Ephesians 4. So Ephesians 4, 29. Have you found it? Got it? Okay, let's read it. I don't have it. Turned to the wrong page. Ephesians 4, 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. It is so good. It is so right and true and useful. It's not just something we put on our coffee table and let gather dust. This book is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that we might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You give us what we need right here. This is where we find that WISDOM. Help us, Lord, now to apply it. to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a short verse. Let's read it again. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? The word for unwholesomeness there in Ephesians 4:29 is the Greek word sapros. I've been teaching a lot of Greek and Hebrew words this series. I'm doing it again. Sapros. Tell your neighbor that they're a sapros. No, probably shouldn't. Because it means unwholesome. It means the King James has the word corrupt. Sapros was a word that they used to mean fruit that's sat on the counter too long. Fruit that's gone bad. And fish that have gone longer than 3 days. You know what happens with fish, right? It stinks, right? So these are rotten words, yucky words, words gone bad. Bad news, right? Gossip fits into that category. It's not the only thing in that category, but it's definitely in that category of rotten, unwholesome words. So we could say Ephesians 4:29 this way, do not let any unwholesome gossip talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Notice the instead of here. Do you get the instead of feel to it? Not only are we to refrain from unwholesome talk, but we're to use our words to bless others. It's not just what not to do, but what to do. Resisting gossip is more than just saying no to sinful gossip. It's saying yes to upbuilding words. Does that make sense? Now, to really understand this verse, and especially to live it out, you have to understand it in its context. For the first three chapters of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul explains the gospel. He unpacks this amazing, eternal plan of God to save a people for himself. Three chapters worth. And then in chapter 4, Paul turns a corner and begins to apply that gospel. Three chapters now of what the gospel is, and then three chapters of practical application. What the gospel means worked out in our lives. And in a word, it means change. It means transformation. The truth of the good news of Jesus Christ changes us. And now we live differently. Let's back up to verse 17 of Ephesians 4 and see a few things together. Look up there, turn to the left-hand page in your pew Bible, and look at Ephesians 4:17. Paul says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord." Well, that sounds pretty strong. "That you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking." We can no longer live as unbelievers. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Now stop just there for a second. That was what we were like before we came to Christ. Sounds like an awful prison, doesn't it? That last bit sounds like Proverbs 26:22, doesn't it? The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's innermost parts. They're addictive. That last part of verse 19 says, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. That's how addictive gossip can be, a continual lust for more. Now here's the good news. Look at verse 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. That's not the truth about you now. Something has happened to you. Verse 21. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the good news that Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection and the gift of His Spirit and the promise of His return. Now He says, let's apply that. Verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Wow. Just think about that for a second. The Bible is saying that our relationship with Jesus has changed everything. And get this, we need to become who we are. Become who you are. Everything has changed now because you and I are in Christ. So we need to live out that truth. Does that make sense? We now have a new identity. And we need to live out of that new identity. Paul likens it to changing clothes. Look again at verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Now that word for put off is a normal word for throwing off your clothes to change them. When they stoned Stephen, they tossed off their cloaks, right? If you're reading that green 1 year through the Bible, you probably read that this morning. They tossed off their cloaks, same Greek word. They tossed off their cloaks, they threw them at Paul's feet, or Saul's feet, right? Same word. Now what is that cloak that needs to go? He says it's the old self. That's the old you. The old way of doing things. Your former way of life. Now I'm going to put on a jacket now. I borrowed these from my wife's closet. I hope she doesn't mind. I couldn't figure out a way to hang this. Try this right here. I'm going to put this one on here to stand for the old self. Glad it rained. It cooled everything down, huh? All right. This jacket symbolizes the old Matt in B.C., before Christ. The Bible says that I am now in Christ and something has changed. And I need to become what? What I am. Okay, now, I need to put off the old self, toss off the jacket, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. It's still around. It's still hanging around, corrupting whatever it can. When you became a Christian, did you stop sinning? Oh, I wish. Huh? I wish. Okay? But it's still there. But I need to toss it off. I am by faith supposed to toss it off. And is that it? Is that where it stops? No. Verse 23, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Now that's what we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. That's the heart stuff. That's the stuff going on inside the bottle. That's what stuff that's going on inside of my mind that needs the truth of the gospel to make me new stuff. That's the new heart level stuff that can't be ignored. Verse 24, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So that's this, right? It's not just tossing off that, it's putting on this. My wife's jacket. Right. That's my new... Doesn't work that way? Did I do something wrong? Oh, throw it off. No, I can't throw this off. I've got to preach the rest of this message in this. Oh. Now that new self is yours by grace. It's a gift from God. This doesn't look like me, probably, I guess. In some ways, think of it like that race car driver, like a new uniform that has your real name on it. Okay, this is the real you. This jacket doesn't look like the real me. But the jacket we're supposed to put on, the coat we're supposed to put on, is the new you. And it's the real you, the you you're supposed to become, the real you are already in Christ. Now, we need to put it on. And that's daily. Hourly, minutely, secondly, if those are words. We need to become who we are. Now, Paul takes the pattern to put off and put on and starts radically applying it to life. Look at verse 25. Notice the therefore. Therefore. Okay, see what he's doing? Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. You see a pattern? Put off falsehood. That would include gossip that's also slanderous lies. Now, if I was going to do this, I'd put on the black jacket, all right? And the black jacket, I'm going to stop, because my wife wants me to stop, and she's right. It's distracting to wear that. But put on the black jacket of falsehood. I need to toss it off, and I need to put on the other jacket, right? The jacket of, what's it say? Speak truthfully to your neighbor. The jacket of honesty. Put off, put on. Put off, put on. You ever seen the movie The Karate Kid? He makes him take on that jacket and take it off, put it on, take it off. Okay? That's the picture. It's not one that you do it once and then it's over. You do it as many times as needed. We could call that repent, obey. Repent, obey. And it's something that happens in the heart. And it's not this thing that earns our favor with God. If I just repent, obey, then I'll please God. No, it's because I've received God's favor, because I'm a new person, I can put off, put on. Put off, put on. Now, verse 26 applies this to anger. In your anger, he says, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Remember, gossip is tied to anger. So it's putting that off and putting on love. Then he applies it to stealing. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Put off thievery. Put on generosity. It's more than just not stealing. Right? It's working to live and to give. Working to live and to give. You see, we don't just put off, we put on. And then here's our verse, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. This isn't law. This is gospel. This is the implications of the gospel. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Put off. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Put off, put on. And then he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of, put off all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And put on, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Okay, see how it works? See the pattern that Paul is setting up for us here? How often do we have to switch coats like that? It's not a one-and-done sort of thing, is it? It's an often-as-needed sort of thing. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, let's get really practical. What does this look like in practice? This moving of the heart, of putting off and putting on, in conversation. Because when we don't have a lot of time often to think about gossip situations before we start speaking them, right? So let's say, what would this look like in real life? Let me suggest 5 things to do instead of speaking gossip. 5 new coats to be regularly putting on. Here's 1. Say nothing at all. How's that saying go? If you can't say anything good, don't say nothing at all, right? If you're in a gossip situation and you don't know what to say, often the best thing to do is to zip the lip. Silence is golden. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Often discretion is evidenced by silence. Proverbs 17:27-28 says, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. Abraham Lincoln said it this way, it's better to keep your mouth shut and let them think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Say nothing at all. And that goes not just for talking, but also texting, emailing, messaging. Every kind of communication where gossip could be flowing. Think before you hit share. It also goes for secret keeping. Keep that secret. Say nothing at all. One of you asked a very insightful question on this survey. Thank you for filling out these. It says this, is it gossip if someone confides in you about something and asks you not to tell anyone but pray for them? You in turn have a Christian friend, a prayer warrior, whom you trust and would never repeat anything you tell them. Is it sinful gossip if I repeat what someone confides in me to my Christian friend only for them to pray about the situation? What do you think? It's a very insightful question. Because we want to gather prayer for people, right? If they ask you not to tell anyone, but just to pray, then you should not tell anyone and just pray. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Now, that doesn't mean you can't ask the initial person if you could share it with a safe prayer warrior, a friend. Can we bring somebody else into the secret to pray, but don't do it if you've promised not to. They're trusting you not to repeat it, so don't. Oh, I had a problem with this last week. I can't tell you about it. I learned a really scandalous secret, and I so much wanted to tell somebody. Not somebody involved, mind you, but just somebody. But I held my tongue because I wanted to be a trustworthy man, not a gossip. Now, there are exceptions, of course, and those exceptions are mainly if someone is going to be harmed by the keeping of that secret. No secret is absolute if it will bring harm to someone. For example, a suicidal situation. Okay? But most of the time, silence is truly golden. Say nothing at all. Where's that in our verse? It's in verse 29 with the word only in your NIV or ESV. It's represented by the word e or a in the Greek. If all that you can think of is unwholesome talk, if that's all you can think of to say, then hold your tongue. But most of the time, we can do better than that, right? That's putting off, but it's almost not even putting on. Let's talk about putting on. Number two, commend the commendable. Commend the commendable. And by that, I mean say true things. Verse 15 says to speak the truth in love all the time. That's our calling, because without the truth, it's not really love. And without love, it's not really truth. Say true things about someone else that are commendable. Verse 29 says, only what is helpful for building others up. Most of the time, what is that? That's encouragement. That's commendation. That's affirmation. And never sinful gossip. If you're tempted to talk about someone, you're in a group situation, and there's talk about someone else, talk about their good points. I'm serious. That's what the golden rule would say, right? That's how you would want to be treated if you found out that they were talking about you. Not that people don't have bad points. They do. We all do. But those are often obvious. Let's commend the commendable. For example, have you ever heard a kid complain about their mom and dad? I mean behind their back. My dad never lets me do anything. In most cases, that's gossip. But God says, honor your father and your mother. Say instead, my dad does this really well, whatever it is. Fill in the blank. He takes me places. He's kind to me. He's the best mechanic there ever was. He's stronger than your dad. He's funny, whatever. If there's nothing good to say about them, don't say anything. That was point one. But if there is anything good to say about them, let's hear that. Build them up when they aren't there. Bear good news about people instead of bad. Aren't we all attracted to people who do that? Not people who pretend that everyone is good and that they kind of rose-colored glasses about all of life. That's wrong and bad too. But people who build others up and not tear them down. A friend of mine, now this is a faraway friend, not anybody here, and I'm not talking about anybody here, sent me a comment page from a Facebook of a wife complaining about her husband to her friends. Now you could say it wasn't behind his back because he was probably one of her Facebook friends too and would have access to these complaints, but he was not clearly part of the conversation, and she definitely wasn't building him up. It was tearing him down. And she sent me this to say, is this gossip? And I have to say, I think so. Now, I don't often complain about my wife because there's just so little to complain about. But I know that I've been guilty of complaining to her about other people. One night early in our marriage, one of Heather's family came to visit us in our apartment, a very small apartment, and I got a bee in my bonnet about something about this person and complained about her relative in our bedroom for a long time after we'd gone to bed. And her relative could hear me through the doors and the walls. It was summer, but it was very chilly the next morning at our house. How different that would have been if I had put that off and put on upbuilding talk. The old word for that upbuilding talk is edification. It's the building of a building, like those bricks across the bottom there. One brick after another. All those commending the commendables, growing up to be a building. A strong building. Now I got that phrase, commend the commendable, from this book that I read this summer, just last month. It's called Practicing Affirmation: God-Centered Praise for Those Who Are Not God. Now, this book will transform families, marriages, parenting, churches, communities, if these principles are followed. It's not a book about flattery. Don't commend the uncommendable, but find what you can and then build from there. There's actually in this book a list of 100 practical ideas for those who feel stuck. That's excellent. 100 practical ideas. Speak the truth in love. Commend the commendable. Number 3, talk to them, not about them. Talk to them, not about them. Talk to people, not about people. Because obviously we can't just say nothing at all of the time. Sometimes, often, there's a problem between us. But the way forward is not to talk about each other to other people, but to go to each other in love. Sometimes that's really hard to do. Remember, though, the new you that you're putting on, this jacket over here, is greater and stronger and more real than the old you. This is the real you. This is the you you have now become because of Jesus. Put it on. You can do it. Put off gossip and put on loving confrontation. So kids, this means for you, no tattling. Being a tattletale is one way to be a gossip. Little Timmy hit me. Why are you telling me this? To get him in trouble? You need to go talk to Timmy. If you can't resolve it, then I'll get involved. Right? When it says in verse 29, only what is helpful for building others up, what? According to their needs. Sometimes what people need is a loving confrontation. I know I do. That's why God has given me this wise woman right here. I would be in such a mess if she didn't lovingly rebuke me. I'm awful glad, however, that she doesn't run around to her girlfriends and confess my sins to them. That's what gossip often is. It's confessing your sin, somebody's sins, to the wrong person. So not about people, but to people. Does that make sense? Now, yes, you get help if you can't do that, or if it's not going well. It's not gossip to report a crime to the police. It's not gossip to report an unresolved conflict to your pastor or to the elders. It's not gossip to get your parents involved if you don't know what to do. But the general rule is, talk to them, not about them. Now, as we said before, there's also times when you have to talk to someone, talk about someone who isn't there, to someone else, to warn that person. Warning others is a biblical category as well. And you don't always have to have the other person present to issue a warning. In fact, you often wouldn't. But you still have to love them even when you're warning someone about them. Do everything you can to protect their reputation as far as you can with as much fairness and charitable judgments as you can as you warn someone about them. Because again, that's what you would want them to do for you, right? Jesus' golden rule of thumb. Let me illustrate that really quick with 3 people. Let's say John Forsey and Brian Soans and me, all right? Brian Soans hired me to keep his lawn mowed. You know me, and if you've seen my lawn, if Peter didn't have a lawn mower, we wouldn't ever have our lawn mowed, okay? And I failed to keep up my end of the bargain with Brian, okay? I'm talking to John about his lawn and how I'd really like the contract on that lawn, okay? And John and Brian get to talking about how I might fulfill a contract for John on mowing his lawn. Is it gossip for Brian to tell John what happened with his lawn? No. But Brian needs to... he says. But Brian needs to be really careful how he talks about me to John. He needs to do it in the way he would want to be talked about if he was me in that situation. The facts? Totally. The warning? You need to know this. I'm sorry to tell you this. There's lots of good things about Pastor Matt. Really, there are. And if I could think of them, I'd tell them to you. But you do need to know this. And he might even do it differently with you. He might have learned from me, from this situation. But I need to tell you. Does that make sense? You follow me? put off the unwholesome talk about people and put on the loving talk to people, even your enemies. Because Jesus said, love them. Love your enemies. Number four, offer words of mercy. And here we're emphasizing the very last part of the verse. Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Say things that benefit others. The King James brings out the Greek even better than the NIV. It says to use words that may minister grace unto the hearers. Words that give grace to those who listen. Don't we just love people who talk like that? People that when they talk, they minister grace to you. Oh, it's so refreshing. People like that are wearing Jesus' cloak. They get who they are in Christ. And they are so much fun to be around. There's a number of you in this room. I'm not going to embarrass you by saying your names. They're not lying. They're not pretending. They don't have their heads buried in their sand about how bad people can be. But they use merciful words. They dispense grace. They say things that help others. Proverbs 10:21 says, "The lips of the righteous nourish many." Doesn't that sound good? I want to be like that. I want to nourish people with my words. Now maybe that doesn't quite sound good to you. Maybe in fact all of this just kind of sounds boring to you. But it's anything but boring. I had a brainstorm this week about boredom. Remember the busybody is bored. They want to escape their boredom and so they gossip. Listen to this. This is a mind blower. There is no boredom in our triune God. There's no boredom in God. There's no gossip, no dirt, no tittle-tattle, no rumors, no prattle, no talking about someone behind their back. What does God do all day? He's never bored. There's always something good to share within the triune love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that love they have for themselves spills out from them and falls on us. So let's be like God. Verse 24, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Or verse 1 of chapter 5, be imitators of God therefore. If you've put on this cloak, you're imitating God. You are a copy of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Use merciful words. And we could say so much here, but I'm almost out of time again. But we could add here, instead of unwholesome gossipy talk, just tell a good story. Tell a good joke. Teach someone something useful. Share a joy of yours. Even share a loving concern for someone so that you can help them. But do something that benefits those who hear. Most gossip has no benefit. Now, yes, this will take work. It takes imagination to see how righteousness works. We don't naturally come by this. We immediately fall into gossipy patterns. But we can do it because that coat is ours. It is our identity now that we are in Christ. So all we have to do is put off, put on in the moment. Offer merciful words. If we don't, verse 30 says that we will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let me give you one more and then we'll close. Talk to and about the Lord. You want to know what to do instead of gossip? Talk to and about the Lord. Jump down the page to chapter 5. Look at verses 19 and 20 and see what Paul says there we should do with our mouths. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying pray, sing, praise, thanks, give testimony, talk to one another in songs. Roll, Jordan, roll. I've been so encouraged recently by a song from a band called Sojourn. It's called The Water and the Blood. It's based on a hymn by Isaac Watts. And the lady singing it, she just soars when she sings, "It's not by the works of righteousness which our hands have done, but we are saved by our Father's grace abounding through His Son. Abounding through His Son. And whenever she sings that, it just speaks directly to my heart. And that's what we need to be doing to others. We need to be talking, even singing to other people about the Lord, how good He is. And checking in with Him. If I got to use my mouth, I can talk to God. If I checked in with the Lord as often as I check my email, what a difference my life would be. And we need to tell the world. One of my old professors from seminary used to say that we need to gossip the gospel. The good news of Jesus should just trip off our tongue. Can I tell it to you one more time? Jesus died for sinners. And then He came back to life. And He has made us new. Has He made you new? To truly resist gossip, you have to believe the gospel. You have to be in Christ for all of this to be possible for you. You have to put on Christ for the first time, in the first place. And then each day, putting off unwholesome talk. Instead of that, putting on grace-giving, people-building, truth in love, God-imitating, Jesus-like talk. Let's pray. Lord, would You do this in us? I pray for anybody here who is not yet a faith follower of Jesus, trusting in Him alone for their salvation. I pray that they would come into Christ, turning from their sins and turning in to Christ, trusting Him, receiving Him, believing on His name. Because that's where life is. Life now and forever. And that's where our new identity comes from. So that we can put off the old self. Be renewed in our minds. You can change our hearts a bit at a time as we encounter Your truth and believe it. And put on the new self. To be like God. In righteousness and godliness. To put off unwholesome, gossipy talk. And to put on this kind of beautiful, life-giving, nourishing, upbuilding, secret-keeping, commending the commendable, loving, merciful, grace-giving words. Would You do that in us, Lord? Make us different. Make us like Jesus. Take our lives and let them be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.